I have no disclosures. And the objectives of this session are to identify the interconnectedness of race, gender, income, social support, family structure, and healthcare. Describe how community-based interventions can potentially improve the health and well-being of men, women, and children, and to discuss ways to incorporate public health practice to ensure policies that reflect existing social systems and promote social justice for all populations. The overarching goal of this presentation is to examine the role of public health in overcoming health inequity and social injustice. There are several definitions that are really important to our conversation this morning. One, I think if we start at a perspective of health in terms of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not just the absence of sickness or frailty. And from there, we move into concepts that really do connect very tightly to social justice. Health equity, when all people have the opportunity to attain their full health potential and no one is disadvantaged from achieving this potential because of their social position or other socially determined circumstance. Health inequality, differences, variations, and disparities in the health achievement of individuals and groups, and disparities which we hear and have heard and will continue to hear a lot about in terms of health and healthcare. Differences in health, which are unnecessary, avoidable, unfair, and unjust. Other concepts that we have heard a lot about and we know that are really important to almost all aspects of health are the social determinants of health. And as you can see from this slide, they are multifaceted. But there also should really be little arrows between each of the circles because they are also highly connected to one another. So this really could be a multitude of arrows going in multiple directions from one construct to another because the social determinants of health do not sit out there in solitude. They really are very connected. One model that really considers some of these interconnections is called a socio-ecological model of health disparities. And this model stretches from the individual all the way to public policy aspects of our society. So it includes individual with interpersonal interactions, organizations, which include healthcare institutions, which are very important to this model, the sense of community, and of course, public policy at the national, state, local levels. I think something that has been noted, as a matter of fact, it was in the keynote session yesterday that talked about the concept of death by zip code. And this is something in terms of thinking of how the United States fares against other wealthy countries, and for one, we do not fare as well. But also within the United States, there are differences based upon where you are located in the country. And then if you drill down a little bit further, for example, to the city of Chicago, there are differences by zip code. So it depends literally on where you live, the access and availability of a multitude of services. And so there, to think about the concept that where you live, you just really have to stop and think about that for a second. Where you live is a huge contributor to your health and your well-being and your family. And across all those contexts that relate to health disparities and social determinants. Further, this study came out several years ago that talked about the healthcare gap. And that this gap really results in a number of lives lost in the city that are related to race and ethnicity and those social constructs as well as the disparities that are we've all talked about and we've heard from my co-presenters this morning in terms of some of those disparities. So what is an interconnectedness or an intersectional lens when you think about health and healthcare? It involves examination of the day-to-day and lived experiences of individuals. It grew out of the work with a social justice agenda and sought to reflect the experiences of those who have previously been ignored in research and healthcare. And it's part of a movement to improve society by understanding the lives of those who are most marginalized. An intersectional approach to disparities expands our understanding of how inequality shapes the lives of people of color, particularly those individuals who may be historically underrepresented. It expands our understanding of the ways public policy reinforces existing systems of inequality. But it also sheds light on how research and teaching that utilizes an intersectional perspective can help to prepare scholars and researchers and practitioners to become agents of change within the community as well as within healthcare institutions. If you examine the intersections of inequality at both individual and societal levels, there are many characteristics that can potentially be involved here. Race and ethnicity are the ones that pop up first, but you can also consider class, physical ability, age, sexuality, and gender. Intersections of structural inequalities and the impact on health. When you think of intersections at an individual level, you can think about a person and their characteristics that come together to influence their health and well-being. So this is this own particular individual's perhaps health history, and maybe they have a genetic disorder that can contribute to that. But beyond that are structural inequalities that go well beyond the individual level. So consider the tip of an iceberg. At the top of that iceberg are the individual level factors, but hidden under the surface of that iceberg are structural inequalities that exert a significant impact on health. Some of those structural inequalities are related to housing, education, employment. And again, it's so difficult to tease these pieces apart because they are all connected. The system inadequacies that result that continue as a result of these interconnections are social, economic, educational, health related, politically related, and as we just heard from our prior presenters, connected to the criminal justice system. And all of these factors really are tied, again, as I said, interconnected and intersectionally. So it really is difficult to, for example, look at one factor or tease out one factor without examining others. As noted in my introduction, my research focuses on fatherhood for African American fathers, and particularly for fathers who don't live in a household with their children. So I'd like to say a little bit, give you a case study of a father who has been engaged in my research, which is an intervention, by the way, to help these fathers who are not living with their children. And so my case study is about a father named Carl. Carl is a 25-year-old young man who has two small children, the ages of 3 and 5. So Carl grew up in a household without his own father. And working with this young man, we discovered how angry he was at his own father and what he was holding on to, really the trauma of growing up in a household without his own father. So for this young man, he decided that he would do something different with his own children, and he really was committed to trying to make a difference. But because of the other factors that the interconnections and the intersectionality around his life, it really was difficult for him to do that. He faced race and racism as challenges. Economics and employment, and which were highly tied to education, all impacted his ability to be the father he wanted to be with his children. And then with the criminal justice system, the likelihood that he would more likely be stopped, arrested, and imprisoned than others of other races and ethnicities. So when you think about this father, interconnections and interconnectivity are highly, highly relevant to fatherhood and fatherhood research. Promoting social justice and social change requires all of these features, advocacy, analyzing existing systems and what we can do to change them, policy development, and sometimes it just takes sitting and thinking and theorizing about what's going on so that we can try to figure it out. I came across this framework as I was preparing for this presentation, and it really hit home with me in terms of research and community-based action. And this is the Health Equity Action Research Trajectory. And they propose now a fourth generation of health action research. The first generation, which is I personally really got tired of hearing about from a fatherhood perspective, and that was the detection. What's going on? What's the problem? And so we were collecting data. And we were collecting data, and we were collecting data, and we were collecting data. So year after year, we heard these same data. And so that's the first generation of action. The second generation is really trying to understand what's going on. Why do these data exist? What are the components of lives that come together to make these data relevant? The third generation is providing solutions. And here is where we start nailing down or start trying to really narrow down what we need to do to make a difference, how we need to actually impact the health and well-being of families that are impacted by these disparities. These authors, Thomas et al., propose a fourth generation of research, which is called taking action. It goes beyond individualized approaches to intervention and develops multifaceted intervention approaches that get at some of these social determinants. So more than just an intervention for the individual, pulling together the other factors that influence that individual on a societal level, looking at how diversity among health professionals can contribute to that. And that involves critical reflection on the part of healthcare professionals who can then say, where am I? How do I fit in this equation? And how can I work effectively to make a change? And above all, to move past the point of examining and to make noise about this and do what we do in terms of being advocates and fighting for what we see as health equity and health and what we need to do to eliminate health disparities. Thank you.